Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, in the last hour, we gave you the news behind the news about the UAE deal and how it's a total conflict of interest with Snow involved. And they're going to make the head of Europe and Latin American operations for Dubai Ports World, the head of the Maritime Administration. This is unbelievable. And, of course, the media is not focusing in on the real meat and potatoes of this infrastructure transfer. More of that is coming up later, and more on how they love to have provocateurs go out and get Muslims to shoot their mouths off at bars and talk about terrorism. And in every case, I've seen, turns out to be a Fed provocateuring them. This is an entrapment. And it's just so they can have headlines that, oh, the terrorists are about to get us any minute. Bob Woodward has said that we're going to have martial law in a police state and a dictator. Told the San Antonio Express News of that, and I want to get more into that today. It's all coming up. For this hour, we are really honored to be joined by a colleague of Paul Craig Roberts and of Ron Paul, both regular monthly guests for years here on this broadcast. Been interviewing Ron Paul for 12 years. That's not true, 11 years, first time I interviewed him. And his bio is 14 feet long. He's an amazing individual. His new book is out, Imposter, How George Bush Bankrupted America and Betrayed the Reagan Legacy. And he joins us. Bruce, I mean, I can cover your bio, but, I mean, what do you think we should tell folks about you instead of reading five pages?
Well, in light of your introduction, I would mention that the first major job I ever had out of college was working for Ron Paul when he was elected to Congress back in 1976. And after Ron was defeated, I went to work for Jack Kemp, and where I replaced Paul Craig Roberts on the staff. So I've known both of those men for 30 years or more.
Well, I mean, there's no better endorsement than that. Those are two of my favorite people who've been exposing what's happening. We're going to break here in a moment. We'll have to come back and recap a lot of what we said. But why did you decide to start going public and criticizing what's happening with Bush?
Well, I just think he's really gotten the Republican Party off onto the wrong track. And as his presidency runs out and the Republicans are have to choose a new leader to run for president in 2008, I think we need to have a reassessment of the legacy of Bushism and ask ourselves, do we want to continue this or do we want to go in a different direction or hopefully go back and to the roots of the party and find another Reaganite who can get us back on the right track.
Ron Paul, 3 years ago, gave a 45-minute speech titled Neocon, and he laid out just the traitorous nature of these neocons. They're a bunch of Trotskyites.
Well, the one of the things I did in this book to try to make it as accessible as possible is to stay away from the really hot-button issues like Iraq and social issues and things like that, and I'm an economist, so I concentrated just on economic policy, and that's where I really think that the worst, at least from my point of view, where he has done the most harm in terms of going against the Reagan philosophy of increasing government spending rather than cutting it. And for me personally, the Medicare drug benefit was the line in the sand that where I think we just made a really, really serious mistake.
Well, you're right. I mean, they can try to make it partisan and claim, oh, you're with the Democrats if you're against Bush on his pro-gun control stance or his open border stance. But there's no debating the fact that he spent more money than all presidents before him combined.
Well, that's right. I tried to ask myself, what is the one thing, the one unifying principle that every person who considers themselves to be a conservative or right of center in this country, and it seems to me that it's your philosophy of government. Are you for big government or are you for small government? And I think all conservatives basically are united around, at least in theory, the idea that we ought to have the smallest government we can get away with. And Bush calls himself a big government conservative, and I think that's a contradiction in terms.
I agree with you. Bruce Bartlett is our guest imposter. We'll come back and tell you more about him and his book, and then let him, as an economist, chronicle how Bush is 180 degrees from what you'd call, I guess, Paleolithic or ancient conservatism. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Alex Jones here, announcing the release of my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Police State 3 details the architecture, goals, and operations of the New World Order.
There is a chance to use this disaster for the New World Order.
A New World Order can emerge.
The film documents dozens of confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism worldwide. We rip the Sinister Patriot Act legislation 1 and 2 apart, piece by piece, and reveal the arrogance of what Ashcroft has to say about your liberty.
You will lose your liberty.
Homeland Security, executive orders, forced vaccinations, the new prison economy, the Total Information Society, the Pan-American Union, federal gun grabs, government-run white slavery rings, and much, much more. If you want to understand what the New World Order really is, then my new 2.5-hour video, Police State 3, is for you. Visit InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Order today and spread the word.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll haul away all that junk you need to make go away from your garage, storage, attic, job site, old office, home, or apartment. That's 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Spring cleaning? Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll haul away that unwanted stuff from your garage, storage shed, attic, job site, office, home, or apartment. Call today. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, so we've got one of the great granddaddies of Reaganomics, love it or hate it, on with us. A colleague of Paul, Craig Roberts. Dr. Roberts is a routine guest with us. Of course, he first got involved in government working for Congressman Ron Paul back in 76 when the congressman was first in Congress. Bruce Bartlett is the author of Reaganomics, which was named one of the Wall Street Journal's best business books of the year of 1981 and 1980. He was executive director of the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, and he later worked in the Reagan White House as the first Bush Treasury Department. Bartlett writes a nationally syndicated newspaper column, and his work has appeared in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Fortune, Commentary, and other national publications. He lives in Great Falls, Virginia. And we've got links to his publisher, links to the book, the new book, Imposter. And boy, is Bush an imposter. How George W. Bush bankrupted America and betrayed the Reagan legacy. And he joins us. And for those stations that just got on board and missed the first five-minute segment, he doesn't focus in on Bush's gun grabbing. And again, Bob Barr told us a month ago, Bush is more anti-gun in actual action than Bill Clinton. He doesn't get into the open borders. He doesn't get into all the other things that make real conservatives or libertarians or freedom lovers hate Bush. He just focuses on the economics. So we're gonna go over this. And remember, Bush has spent, in only 6 years in office, more money than all presidents before him combined. On average, he doubled the size of federal agencies. I mean, they grew at about, 15% a year under Bill Clinton. So some of the big socialist bureaucracies now, doubling the size of the BATF, doubling the size of Health and Human Services. I mean, this is insane. But again, it's all sweetheart deals and contracts to his buddies. Going to our guest, Bruce Bartlett. Mr. Bartlett, so, I mean, just kind of recap it for us. You wrote this book, why, and then let's go over the real record of George Bush and why you call George Bush Jr. an imposter.
Well, I think the genesis of the book started on November 22nd, 2003, which you may recall was the day of the infamous three-hour vote in the House of Representatives, when the president and his allies, Tom DeLay and others, brought to bear enormous political pressure on Republicans in Congress, conservatives particularly, to support this massive increase in Medicare spending. And up until that time, you can check the record, I was generally pretty supportive of everything the president did. And that really was like a, you know, cold slap in the face. It just, I suddenly realized that that this guy, you know, ain't one of us, speaking as a traditional mainstream movement conservative. And after that, I began questioning more and more the things Bush was doing, and I started writing more and more critical things about him in my columns and things like that. And this sort of culminated in an infamous interview that I gave to the New York Times in their magazine just before the election, that you may recall. But anyway, after that, I was, you know, chastised by my former employers, a think tank up in Dallas. And after that, I decided that I needed to express my views more fully, and I started writing the book just about a year ago in February of 2005, and it's just been published this week.
And things are just getting more and more insane. Let's talk about, just up front, Bush has spent more money, and it's accelerating every day, than all presidents combined. Can you break that down for us?
I don't have those figures in front of me, but I did do a calculation a couple of weeks ago that you might find of interest. I went through official government reports, something called the Financial Report of the United States Government, which is published by the Treasury every year, and it calculates the total government debt, not just what we call the national debt, but all this off-budget debt, this implicit debt for things like future benefits for Social Security and Medicare and things like that. And if you compare the last one of those reports in the Clinton years and the most recent one that's been published as of September 30 last year, there's been an increase in debt under President Bush of $20 trillion. Now, that's obviously an increase in debt, again, you know, many times greater than that existed in previous history.
I mean, you were in Dallas. I'm sure you saw that big economic think tank report in the Dallas Morning News 2.5 years ago where they said the real national debt for future expenditures and things that we'd already, you know, signed on to, was it, what, $43 trillion?
Yeah, well, it depends on how you count the numbers. I think that was Scott Burns, if I'm not mistaken.
But you're saying another $20 trillion on top?
Since 2001 or 2000. So, I mean, the last time I looked up the numbers, including the Medicare drug benefit, the unfunded liability of Medicare was $68 trillion. And the unfunded liability of Social Security is about $11 trillion. So we're talking about $80 trillion of unfunded future debts that are already on the books that will have to be paid for just those two programs of $80 trillion. And then, of course, you have other debts on top of that as well for just the Treasury bonds that are out there that we call the national debt. And
so we have those unfunded commitments that just balloon and balloon. Then we have the dollar being somewhat devalued. What about the neocon listener right now who just thinks it's impossible, we must be Soviet agents, and we're saying Bush isn't God incarnate? They go, it's the war. That's why we're spending more. But then I looked at the numbers. The war is a small part of total spending increases.
That's right. But it's going to get bigger in the future, of course. But, you know, what I would say to the neocons who have been saying for some time that, look, you know, everything you're saying is right, but the war on terror is so important that it just doesn't really matter. We just can't be bothered with these trivial problems on the domestic side. We got to deal with this threat. Well, I would ask them, what do they think about the ports business, you see? Because it seems to me is illustrative of the problems I'm talking about in my book, where they have clearly an utterly dysfunctional policy development process. I mean, it's just beyond my comprehension. Leaving aside the substance, let's just talk about the politics. How could anybody who works in politics, who works in the White House or the Treasury Department or anyplace else, look at this deal and not say, oh, my God, the you-know-what's going to hit the fan when this comes out. We better find some way to at least deal with the political consequences.
Well, yeah, we were already in trouble financially and probably going to be bankrupt 6 years ago, but instead it's been likened to looting, or when you poison cockroaches, they start fornicating before they die. I mean, it seems like there's just a mad stripping the ship before it goes under. I mean, do you see that they're just like wild-eyed, foaming at the mouth, greedily grabbing everything?
So the foreigners, you mean?
Not just that, but the corporate interests controlling the Bush administration and all the sweetheart deals and contracts, the spending. It's like somebody who knows they're going bankrupt, so they're just going to jack up the bills as high as possible.
Well, look, one of the things that I think is behind this ports deal is the fact that we've had this massive trade deficit for the last several years. And so the foreigners are sitting on all of these dollars, okay? Now, they have to be able to buy something with those dollars, or they're going to get rid of them, and the dollar will crash.
In fact, that's now coming out in some mainstream columns that this is Cheney that wants this port deal, and that's only a small part of it. Is that why Spanish company Centro is being given almost every major road in Texas?
I'm not familiar with that, but I do know that if you're a foreigner and you're holding dollars, if you're not interested in buying American goods and services, then you have to be able to buy American assets. And if we tell the UAE we're not going to allow you to buy this port deal, then I think a lot of foreigners are going to say to themselves, well, gee, you know, if we're not going to be able to buy American assets, then what do we need these dollars for? You see, so I think what their main concern is maintaining the value of the dollar so that there isn't a run on the dollar as people unload all of their dollar-denominated assets.
And if they foreign currencies and dollarized currencies, I mean, you've got the doctorate in economics. I'm trying to understand this. If that starts flowing back into the country, I mean, we're going to see the entire infrastructure being bought off.
Well, the alternative, unfortunately, is worse, which is that people start selling their dollars and buying yen or Deutsche Marks or whatever it is, or euros rather, or whatever. And the dollar will suddenly fall very precipitously.
But this is what we always saw with Guatemala, Nicaragua, and El Salvador, and Nigeria, and all these third world countries where they're totally bankrupt and foreign interests just come in and buy everything up.
Well, if you've been talking to Paul Craig Roberts, then you know his theories about all this, that's exactly what is in the cards. And even, you know, many liberals such as Paul Krugman are saying somewhat the same thing. It's something that I'm very concerned about, and I think that there's a fragility to the international financial system where even the smallest interruption in the flow of capital could have major repercussions on the domestic market and really put us into a financial crisis overnight.
Because our economy isn't manufacturing or value-added products now, it's just juggling a fiat currency.
Well, that's right. Why foreigners have been so eager to buy dollars. And, I mean, one of the reasons why we've had the problems we've had over the last few years is that it seemed as if we could have our cake and eat it too. That is, we've been running up large government deficits, and historically, the constraint on our ability to have deficits is that if you borrow more and more on Wall Street, it causes interest rates to go up. And at some point, that becomes a constraint, a political or an economic constraint on borrowing. But what we've had is the Chinese who want to keep their currency low, and so they buy dollars to keep the value of their currency down and our currency up. And the way they do this is by buying treasury securities. So they've been, in effect, buying our national debt.
And they've been buying control of that, correct?
Well, it's not so much control as the fact that they've been allowing us to have a free lunch that we shouldn't have been allowed to have in terms of being able to run up huge government
debt. But that
deficit
does give them incredible leverage over us.
Well, it's a two-way street.
I agree. Stay there, Mr. Bartlett. We're going to come right back and get more into it. Stay with us.
Listen up, folks. Did you know you've been cheated? You owe no debt on your bank-issued credit cards. You heard that right. You owe no debt on your bank-issued credit cards. You don't have to pay them off. The banks are defrauding you. Now's the time to fight back. You can completely wipe out your credit card debt fast. The procedure is easy and everything is done legally and within the law. We have a better than 90% success rate. Check out 1-2-3NoDebt.com. The process is simple and is non-judicial. It's an easy letter-writing process that can be done by anyone with a personal computer. With our package, you also get the Credit Secrets Bible, loaded with valuable information about credit restoration, credit repair, and much, much more. Don't let the banksters cheat you. Fight back, America. Stop the fraud. Stop the ripoff. Learn the truth. 1-2-3NoDebt.com. Come over and get our rock-solid technology that wipes out debt without bankruptcy. 1-2-3NoDebt.com. Live debt-free now. You lose nothing but the debt.
Hi, folks. Jack Browning from Midas Resources, the real money folks. Let's review a few things from the past year, November 2003 to November 2004. The Dow has ranged from 9,800 to 10,300, a 5% increase. The dollar's value has dropped from 96 cents to 70 cents against the euro. A 24% decrease in spending power against the gold-backed euro. Gold has gone from the 390s to the 440s, a 16% increase in real money. Precious metals are the safe haven in today's hectic marketplace. To learn how to protect your shrinking dollar, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. Remember, gold is liquid, private, and portable. Call now before your buying power shrinks even more dramatically. That's Midas Resources at 800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here introducing you to the Black Berkey Replacement Element. They're new and they're more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These powerful filters fit most gravity filter systems and can be installed in minutes. Black Berkey Replacement Elements are so powerful they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites to non-detectable levels. The trihalomethanes, volatile organic chemicals such as atrazine, styrene, chloroform, and MTBE are removed below detectable limits. Black Berkey filter elements also reduce nitrates and unwanted metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Yet the Black Berkey filter elements leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. And the Black Berkey filters are reclaimable. Simply brush them up with Scotch-Brite pads. Normally $48 each, you get a 2-pack for only $91 or a 4-pack for only $173. Get the powerful Black Berkey replacement filters now by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 and protect your family.
Hey folks, this is Ted Anderson. You've all heard me on the radio talking about the importance of investing in precious metals. I feel it's time for me to talk about the importance of investing in your health. I was presented with the opportunity to try TriVibes from TriVortex. I was a bit hesitant of the idea of absorbing vitamins by wearing them rather than ingesting them. After conducting one of the tests found at TriVortex.com, I was convinced that the product might actually work. I now wear my TriVibes bands daily, and I'm feeling better than ever, not only physically, but also mentally. TriVortex also offers amazingly beneficial and beautiful jewelry worn by the women around the office daily. TriVortex is amazing. Don't take my word for it. Try TriVortex yourself and have fun and learn with the test found on TriVortex.com. That's TriVortex.com. Or call my friend Brian at 619-884-1455. That's 619-884-1455.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
All right, going back to our guests, Bruce Bartlett, the book Imposter, How George W. Bush Bankrupted America, Betrayed the Reagan Legacy. I want to get the difference between Reaganomics and the book he wrote in 1981, I mean, literally, and then what Bush is doing. But the Democrats really love Bush when you talk about Congress. They outvote Republicans a lot of times. He hasn't seen a bill he hasn't signed. I think Bush has vetoed one spending bill.
Zero.
Wasn't there one little bill about a year ago he vetoed?
Nope, zero.
So there's not even one?
Nope.
He's never issued one veto?
Not one. You have to go back to John Quincy Adams, to find a president who served a full term without vetoing a single bill. And you have to go back all the way back to Thomas Jefferson to find a president who served in office as long as this president has without vetoing a single bill. And, of course, Jefferson was our third president, so that's a pretty damn long time.
Well, sir, I mean, you talk about selling off to foreign interest. From Indiana to Texas, foreign Spanish company is just being seated in secret deals, almost all the major state and local roads, for a pittance. And, I mean, so you talk about foreign investment coming back in. German and Dutch companies are buying up. They're the majority owners now in the aggregate. By majority, they don't own 51%, but they're the biggest single owners, these two companies, of water districts. I mean, everything's getting bought up.
Well, as I said earlier, I think that this is the inevitable consequence of a trade deficit that has put a lot of dollars into foreigners' hands, and they have to find something to buy with those assets. And a lot of economists believe that the trade deficit is simply the flip side to the budget deficit. That is, one in effect causes the other, because we don't have enough sufficient domestic saving to buy all those treasury bonds that the treasury is issuing, and foreigners have to in effect provide that financing and that inflow of capital, whether it goes into treasury bonds directly or whether it goes into some other domestic investment, is in effect what's financing our national debt.
Why has Bush, when you talk to these people and you know, you've worked with them, why are they accelerating the debt and the spending? I mean, I know a lot of it's cronyism and crony capitalism and giving contracts to their buddies, but I mean, why? Why we're already in such massive debt and we've got this trade deficit, why are they going off the deep end with the spending?
Well, there's a joke about why dogs do certain things that I could use to respond, and the answer is because they can, and I think that that's really what it boils down to. Because of what we were talking about earlier, because the Chinese and Japanese and others have been so aggressive in buying Treasury securities, they've prevented the normal economic workings that would have caused interest rates to rise by now, which would have put political and economic pressure on the Congress and the president to hold back on spending or try to hold back on deficits.
Well, Mr. Bartlett, I'm sure you've read some of the Trilateral Commission founding documents, and that this is exactly what they said they wanted to do. You talk about Paul Craig Roberts. You know, he says it is an economic conspiracy, and we've got a lot of World Bank and IMF documents on this. We've got the Joseph Stiglitz documents where this is they wanted to set up a global economic atmosphere that was conducive for corporate takeovers.
Well, I do believe in free trade, and I do believe in the free mobility of capital because it does go in both directions, and there's an awful lot of U.S. investments in foreign countries as well that offset the investments here. But I'm just saying that as a matter of simple economics, if you're running a huge trade budget deficit, you're going to run a trade deficit, and if you're going to run a trade deficit, you're going to have dollars in foreign hands that have to have someplace to go. And if they can't invest here or they don't want to invest here, then they're going to unload those assets and buy assets in other countries.
But is it free trade to have 1,300,000,000 Chinese, many of them at slave wages, many of them actually slaves in slave factories? How is it free market to compete against slaves?
Well, I think you're mixing apples and oranges. I mean, I think there are lots of problems with the Chinese situation, but what I'm resistant to is the idea that we ought to be putting on tariffs or other restrictions on foreign imports, because for one thing, that's going to encourage other countries to put restrictions on our exports. And the last time we did something along those lines, it was the Smoot-Hawley tariff, and that led to the Great Depression. So I think we need to deal with these things in ways that don't hurt ourselves worse than the current situation.
Well, I would agree with you, but our balance of trade was much larger. It wasn't so out of whack back in 1928, sir.
Well, that's true, but we still had a huge decline in the amount of exports and trade.
I hear you. Listen, long segment coming up, plenty of time to get into details. We'll take your calls, too, at 1-800-259-9231. I'm going to talk to our guest about the future. What do you see happening in the future?
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be the special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarket.com. That's mangosteenmarket.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
Black Berkey replacement elements are ideal for use in any gravity filter. These self-sterilizing filters can transform raw pond and lake water into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Ideal for travel or outdoor events, and perfect in the event of hostile filtration environments such as local or national emergencies, because they remove both harmful chemicals and pathogenic bacteria from water. So powerful, they can remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites to non-detectable levels. Try halomethane and volatile organic chemicals such as atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and NTBE are removed to below detectable limits. They reduce nitrate and unwanted metals such as lead, mercury, aluminum, copper, and foul taste like chlorine and sulfur odors. Yet the Black Berkey filter elements leave in the helpful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Normally $48 each, get a 2-pack for only $91 or a 4-pack for only $173. Get the powerful Black Berkey replacement filters now by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.
The sponsor on air doesn't mean I necessarily support it. Some of the stuff I hear, unbelievable. Our guest joins us. It's Imposter. How George W. Bush bankrupted America, betrayed the Reagan legacy. He's Bruce Bartlett. We'll take some of your calls coming up here in about 5-10 minutes. 1-800-259-9231. It's put out by Doubleday, and I haven't read the whole book yet, but I've read a lot of it, and it's really good ammo for your conservative friends and family that think a doubling, in the size of the government is conservative. And again, most of that is all these big socialist programs. I want to get into the 2008 election and how serious that is. Mr. Bartlett, but first I want to get just more into the record of George Bush. I don't think conservatives realize what he's done with federal agencies. I mean, the new Freedom Initiative for forced psychological testing and drugging, national ID cards, all these federal agencies on average, again, doubling in size. I mean, this is insane. It's a total takeover by the government.
Well, it is true that there's been a huge increase in the total number of federal employees under Bush's watch, but I'm an economist, and I'm trying to stick to just the economic issues, because I think that that's the one area where there just really isn't any serious disagreement among conservatives about what it means to be a conservative. And I think this idea of compassionate conservatism or big government conservatism is just really a slap in the face to those of us who consider ourselves still to be Reaganites.
Now, Hillary Clinton had a big poll yesterday, and over two-thirds of Americans think she'll run for president, but only a third think she'll win. Mm-hmm. I was talking to you during the break. You disagree. You think Hillary's probably going to be it.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that she'll get the Democratic nominee. The main knock against her is not that the Democrats don't agree with her philosophy or anything like that. It's because they just don't think she can win. But keep in mind that she is running for re-election to the Senate this year. She has essentially no opposition in New York. Two candidates on the Republican side have already dropped out, and I don't even think there's anybody even running for the Republican nomination at this point. So she's going to win probably with, you know, an 80% majority, and I think when that happens, it's going to put to an end to these concerns that Democrats have about her electability.
Now, conservatives see Democrats when they're corrupted for big government, but they can't see it when Bush is doing it. And I see Democrats, if Hillary gets elected, suddenly thinking Patriot Act 2 is good, secret arrest is good, FEMA camps are good, big government's good. We got Republican congressmen saying that anti-war protesters are fifth column people that need to be arrested. So there's this whole police state atmosphere. Ron Paul has said on this broadcast a few weeks ago he believes we could go into martial law dictatorship. All these powers that Bush is claiming he has, these imperial powers, I guess will be handed over to Hillary. And I guess all these conservatives are going to love that.
Well, I think that's one of the things people ought to be concerned about when they do anything that the government does, is that it's silly to assume that your own side is going to be in control indefinitely. And you have to operate on the assumption that the other side will be back in control eventually. And it is true that parties' attitudes about certain things do change when they get into office. For example, Democrats thought the special counsel law was the greatest thing since sliced bread when they were indicting Republicans. But as soon as the special counsel started to be used against Bill Clinton, they decided it was really a bad piece of legislation and it was allowed to expire.
Well, Democrats didn't care about the communist Chinese who threatened to nuke us routinely, getting the Panama Canal and the Long Beach Naval Base. But then now the UAE, they're freaking out, running around, pulling their hair out, doing good investigations. Hey, I'm a constitutionalist. See, I've got it easy. I just stand with the Constitution, and that's my litmus test for any party.
Well, I think that's the right way to do things, and I think the Democrats have hurt themselves with this, swing one way when it's in your favor and go the other way when it's not. But in terms of 2008, what I think Hillary's going to do is she'll be able to raise, let's face it, virtually unlimited sums of money. She's going to have the best advisors that the Democratic Party's got, not the least of whom is her husband, who, whatever else you think about him, is a political genius. And I think he's going to guide her to a re-election this year that is going to frame the kinds of issues that she thinks is going to win for her in 2008.
So you think the surrogate son of the Bush family, who they vacation with and love, you think he'll help her?
Well, what do you think? I mean,
isn't that sick, the Bushes and then the worship fest with Clinton?
Well, I think if I were Bill Clinton, I would think that if I could put my wife in the White House, this would in effect be wiping the slate clean for all the things that happened on my watch, you know, such as Lewinsky, that are a stain on my record. So I think he's going to move heaven and earth to get her elected, and I think the idea being the first whatever we call the kink. We've never had anything except first ladies. I guess he'll be the first gentleman, or I guess we can't call him that either. But I think it appeals to his vanity and his ego.
What a nightmare! Never getting rid of the Rhodes Scholar, Bill Clinton. Never getting rid
of
that.
Well, we can't get rid of the Bushes, for Pete's sakes. You know why should the Clintons be treated any different?
Yeah. What about Jeb? First he said he wouldn't run for president. Now he's saying, well, maybe.
Well, I think Jeb is a smart guy and not a fool, and I think he has to understand that 2008 isn't his year.
He'll probably wait for another 4 or 8 years, and then.
Well, I think 2012 makes a lot more sense from his point of view, and that's one of the things that I criticize Bush in the book for, all to get around to it, is the fact that he has not anointed a successor who will be in a position to hold the White House for the Republicans.
Well, that's because, frankly, I think they're in league, and a lot of experts are saying with the Clintons.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I do think that...
No, really?
Well, what I would focus on here is Dick Cheney, who I think is even by people like you, underappreciated in his influence on this president. And I think he, the president, I think he should have gotten rid of Cheney in 2004 to put into place.
But isn't Cheney really the president? I mean, Bush is taking three-hour naps.
I think Cheney and Bush are two sides of the same coin. They complement each other's weaknesses.
So Cheney's like a co-president?
I think of it more as an enabler. You know, it's like, you know, your kid is a drug addict, and he comes to you and says, you know, please give me some money for a treatment. You give them the money for the treatment, they go out and buy more drugs. And they do this over and over and over again. And I think that in many ways what Cheney does is allow Bush to pursue things that are that he has bad instincts.
Well, a Fox News commentator was saying that Cheney needs to probably step down and to put somebody in to position them for the springboard into the presidency.
Well, I've been hearing talk about that for a long time, but it seems a little too conspiratorial for me.
Does Dick Cheney live in Darth Vader's metal egg? I mean, how does he stay alive after six heart attacks and all this?
I don't know. I don't know how he stays in office after shooting people either, but.
And then lying about it. I mean, clearly he shot him closer than 90 feet, 30 yards. Clearly they kept the police out. Now he wasn't drinking. Now he was drinking. I mean, yeah, he's lying.
Well, whatever happened in reality, it certainly showed incredibly poor political judgment to handle the release of the information the way they did. And it shows an arrogance and contempt for the media and for the right of the people to know what their leaders are doing. And anyway, my point is that I think it would have been very easy in 2004 for Cheney to step aside and for Bush to put somebody else in, and I don't even know who that would be, but just somebody who would be in a position to replace him in 2008 and give the Republicans a better chance.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's a, and then I want to take some calls, and I appreciate you joining us. Do you think that's a real split when Brent Scrocoff talks about Bush being a nut and the war being a joke, whenever even Senior makes little comments, you know, this old guard, or when Colin Powell, chief of staff, goes public and says they're a bunch of crooks, basically? I mean, what is all that about?
Well, I think that it will take a historian and a psychologist and lots of other people to figure out the relationship between the father and son. But clearly there's a split there, and clearly the father and many of the people around him, such as Brent Scowcroft, have been deeply disturbed by many of the things the son has done. You know, we'll figure that out someday. I don't pretend to understand it now. But I'm mainly concerned about what we were talking about earlier in terms of Hillary Clinton being the Democratic nominee. And if she's running against a weak Republican opponent, then she's going to win. And I'd really rather not have Hillary Clinton in the White House.
Well, I'll say this. Frankly, if Hillary gets into office, conservatives will finally wake up instead of just laying around letting this whole NWO take over.
Well, that's the maybe the bright spot, but I certainly wouldn't want to have to go through what we may have to go through for that to happen. I'd rather.
Oh, you talk about somebody trying to become a dictator. I have no doubt that that witch wants to be a dictator.
Well, I don't know if she'll be a dictator, but undoubtedly she will pursue policy.
Well, certainly, you know, Bush has been declaring imperial executive rule from the the peacock throne power. I mean, all of his advisors and his lawyers and his signing statements, all of it. I mean, it is scary.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, nobody except Bill Clinton could have given us Republican control of Congress, and maybe Hillary will bring about getting the Republicans in Congress to go back to being what we had hoped they would be when they were elected first in 1994, to really be constitutionalists and stand up for federalism and freedom and the other things that you and I are interested in.
Well, let's blast through some phone calls. The book is Imposter. And it's by Bruce Bartlett, and it's put out by Doubleday. It's in hitting stores right now. You can also go to Amazon.com, places like that. Alex and Mast and Russell, Mark, and Paul, that's all we'll have time for. But, Alex, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Thank you. I wanted to ask you, I was watching your interview with Gary Busey today in Malibu, and I was wondering if he told you what he saw on the other side.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll come back to you a little bit later. I did that TV interview with Gary Busey, and it was interesting. And the answer is no, he didn't. Russell in Austin, Texas. Go ahead. You're on the air, Russell.
Okay, thanks. I'd just like to ask Mr. Bartlett a couple questions about his trade policy. He said that he believes in free trade, but because otherwise countries would slap us with tariffs. But doesn't China have a 30% tariff on our goods coming in right now anyway?
They even have a higher in some cases. Yeah, this isn't free trade. I mean, these agreements are 10,000 pages long in many cases, sir.
Well, I don't think if your enemy is doing something that hurts himself that we should hurt ourselves too.
But doesn't it destroy American manufacturing?
China's got a 12% growth rate. I mean, they're hurting themselves.
Doesn't it destroy American manufacturing when you let them sell us goods made by slave labor and put Americans out of work?
Well,
how does that help us?
I believe in free trade for the same reason that I believe in a free market. I think if you want to sell something to people in New York.
But what he's saying, sir, is free trade is where they don't have tariffs that are bigger than ours.
I don't think one has anything to do with the other. I think that free trade is in our interest, regardless of what any of our trade.
So it's not just slave labor. It's not just a weaker currency. On top of it, it's okay for them to have high tariffs, and then it's free trade. I thought free trade was both sides just saying we're going to be free.
No, obviously it would be in our interest as well as the Chinese interest for them to have free trade as well. But it doesn't follow that if they don't have free trade, then we shouldn't have free trade either.
What about American manufacturing?
I think that it's in our interest to allow the free importation of all goods from any country because that's what's in the best interest of the consumer.
Do you come from the Keynesian school, the Austrian school, and what school of economics do you follow?
Well, I don't know any school of economics that doesn't favor free trade, at least in principle. And I think that we ought to be pursuing that because I think what we want to do is hold down the prices of goods for our consumers.
Well, what I'm saying, sir, is
the standard of living.
Is
that
I don't
people.
Think it's free trade. I think free trade's where both sides don't have tariffs.
Well, you're simply defining the term differently than it exists in economics.
Well, I think it's been our country had record growth under tariffs and 10% growth a year until we got into all this modern mumbo jumbo. And all I can say about this, and then I'll let the caller go because I want to move on to some others, and then I'll let you comment on this, Mr. Bartlett, is that, I mean, let's take the millions of Americans in private prisons working for 20 cents an hour, building things that are displacing American workers. Now, it isn't free trade when you got government-subsidized prisons with a private factory on the back of them, where I'm competing against people working for 20 cents an hour.
Look, if you put on restrictions on foreign imports, it's going to raise the prices of the goods that people have to buy.
But I'm asking, is that free trade when I compete against a prisoner?
Standard of living.
But when I compete against a prisoner, sir, is that free trade?
You're just defining the terms to mean something different than what they mean.
No. See, this is
free trade.
See, this is 1984.
I'm just saying.
I'm defining it the way it was defined 100 years ago.
Tariffs or restrictions on the imports of anything from anybody, and it doesn't matter to me. I do not care if something is made by slave labor or made by highly paid unionized workers.
So you think this
all
changed?
All I care about is can I buy the cheapest, best quality goods at the best price because that's what's best for me, not me personally, but me as the consumer. And I believe that the consumer is the final arbiter of what is right in terms of trade policy.
Well, that's a libertarian view then.
Well, then, okay, then I'm a libertarian.
Oh, well, listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to get where you're coming. I mean, you've certainly got a degree in this and all, but I think that it's a little bit patronizing to say you're just changing the definition of things. I mean, I'm quite a history buff, and I know what our trade policy was in the past, at least
generally.
Well,
you're defining free trade to mean that both parties have to have free trade, and that's just not right. Free trade is what we do.
Well, let me say this then. It's been sold to us that way. It's been sold. Can't we just trade with each other, you know? And I mean, look, I think it's hurting our economy. I think our standard of living is going down. I think the family's falling apart. I think our communities are disintegrating. I mean, I don't think this is a race to the bottom. And look, the IMF World Bank documents say that they want to do this.
Well, don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of problems in our trade policy, and I think there's a lot of problems in our economy and our society, but I just don't think they necessarily have anything to do with each other. I think our main problems are domestic, that we've imposed upon ourselves, and insofar as we have a problem in terms of our manufacturing, I think it probably has more to do with things like government regulations and environmental wackos who make it impossible for our manufacturing industries to compete on a fair basis.
Well, I agree with that. The layers of regulation for something that isn't hurting the environment. I mean, all the environmentalists want to do, I don't think they're wackos. They work for big foundations. They want to grab private property. Nature Conservancy, being the biggest real estate owner in the country now. And meanwhile, you know, genetic engineering, chimera, cross-species splicing, it's totally dangerous. That's allowed to go on, and the environmentalists don't care.
Well, they're not known for their consistency.
Well, it's, they're just a mafia trying to intimidate people into giving them a toll. Stay there, sir. I want to plug your book. You want to get back to two final calls from Mark and Paul. Very interesting interview today. And again, the book's Imposter, How Lord Bush Bankrupted America. We'll be right back. There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the documentary truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here. You know Berkey water filters have been removing pathogenic bacteria for years. But what about those unhealthy chemicals and heavy metals in your water? The powerful black Berkey purification elements fit most gravity filters and dramatically increase their power to extract waterborne contaminants. Best of all, they filter much faster than ordinary gravity elements. This means it takes much less time to filter your water. Black Berkey elements not only remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites, but also remove trihalomethanes and volatile organic elements such as atrazine, benzene, chloride, and chloroform, MTBE, radon 222, foul taste and obnoxious odors like sulfur, even nitrates, and unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum are extracted. Supercharge your gravity filter today and order a two-pack of Black Berkey purification elements for only $96 or a four-pack for only $175 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
I want want to go to Mark and Paul before we end this hour. We got Jack McClam coming on the next hour. Talk about unbelievable judicial tyranny. We'll hit a lot of other news as well. Bruce Bartlett's been our guest today, and it's been interesting and informative. We were talking during the break. We always have better interviews during the breaks than we do on air. He was talking about Ireland with a 12% flat tax, but there's not a bunch of other taxes on top of that, and they've exploded. Meanwhile, the OECD and other big globalist organizations say we're a tax haven. So I agree with him. If we didn't have all this regulation and taxes on us, then we could compete with China, maybe, with all their slaves and all the private prisons here in America. I mean, we shouldn't be competing against prisons, folks. That's just criminal. That's slavery. We can't compete against slaves. You know, so that enters into the equation. But where do you see us going in the future? You think we're going to pull out of this, or when will the bankruptcy finally hit? Ron Paul thinks we're going to go into a depression.
I'm very concerned about the financial sector. I'm very concerned about things like the housing bubble. I'm very concerned about things like hedge funds. I think there are a lot of risks to the international financial sector that could cause a financial crisis. I don't know whether it'll end up in a depression
or not. Cascading around the globe?
Excuse me?
Cascading?
When we're utterly dependent upon hundreds of billions of dollars of foreign capital inflows every year to maintain our equilibrium.
Really, we're a one crop economy with a fiat currency being the crop.
Well, actually, what the export is treasury bonds. We're really good at printing those up and sending them off to Beijing and Tokyo.
And we got a military that backs it up, and that's the economy.
Except that that can only last for so long. And the only thing I know is that trends that cannot continue don't.
Yeah, what goes up must come down. So tell us, sir. I mean, give us your prediction.
I think one of these days we're all going to go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and find out that something really terrible happened overnight, and the stock markets are going to crash. And all of a sudden, all of these trends that you and I have been talking about, whether it's fiscal trends or monetary trends or trade flows, all this stuff is going to have to be totally reassessed, and we're going to have a massive budget deal and probably a big tax increase.
Oh, boy. Mark in Texas, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being there, guys. Thanks for having your guest. You know, I think Imposter is a good name for his book because I think he's a globalist. And I'll tell you, the only thing you want to know now is how does the individual protect himself and profit from the situation. So I studied history. I studied the Great Depression. I just studied how to survive it. And so one thing I've done is I've just said, you know, if I got to be out here competing with the illegal Mexicans for jobs and I never get the job, I just went on Social Security disability. I get a government check. Okay, so that's where I went with it. So that's
Mark, our guest has got to leave us, but I want to put you on hold. I want to hear some more from you. Stay there. Don't go. I want to let others finish up. What about that, Bruce Bartlett? He's saying you want a new world order. Do you want a one world government?
No, of course I don't. I am concerned, though, about how you protect yourself from a threat that you don't know when or where it's going to happen. And I think there's the about 50-50 chance that this could all end in an inflationary explosion or a deflationary explosion. And so, gold might be a good investment in one respect, or maybe having all your money in cash would be the best way in another.
I think diversification always is the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea, too. But I'm pretty heavily in cash, personally. But the stocks, I think, are going to be not a good place to be.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you spending time with us, sir, and I hope to talk to you again in the future. And I hope your book, Imposter, does well. Looks like it's going to. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye.
You bet. All right. And I'm going to come back with Mark and Paul, finish up. Then I'm going to get Jack McClam on with us. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at gcnlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.